For a great cup of joe, there's one thing you should know. Your morning brew can also be playful. Buff Boy Brewing guys make the temperature rise, and you surely feel naughty when you swallow our coffee. If you want some real heat, give your mouth a fine treat. You will want some more, rest assured. Buff Boy Brewing, you can't get enough of.
It's time for The Scribble, your weekly fix of celebrity chats, bizarre stories in the news, and basic random chatter with best-selling author and syndicated radio host Jeremy Bradley. Make sure your seat is in the upright and locked position and your barf bag is securely in place. Here's Jeremy Bradley.
Thank you very much, Larson. My name is Jeremy Bradley, and this is The Scribble. Thanks for tuning in at thescribbleshow.com and on SoundCloud and iTunes. I'm looking right now. This is episode 204. And what's really cool about that is my area code from Manitoba, where I grew up in Canada, if you're not familiar with the area. 204 was the area code there. I think there's a second area code now. I don't know what it is. But I remember that was a big deal when everybody had to do 10-digit dialing, because we're all stupid nowadays. We don't remember phone numbers. I remember my parents' phone number because, you know, I lived there for 25 years. But when it comes to my brother's phone numbers, again, they've had the same phone numbers for about 10 years or so. And that's, I've had a cell phone for longer than that. But yeah, any person's cell phone, yeah, that's the problem. I have no idea about anybody's phone numbers anymore. So I do know that 204 is my area code. I still have a cell phone with that area code. So anyway, there's just some significance for you. Coming up on the show, we have got Barbara Corcoran. She's one of the sharks from ABC's Shark Tank. And it's been a few years since she has been on the air with us. And I've got some questions for her, like, how often are you pitched a business plan? Because I imagine you can't go anywhere. When you're on a hit show like that, everybody has an idea for you, right? Everybody wants your money. Everybody wants an investment. So if there's a time, we're going to get to some of your questions that you have sent in for Barbara as well. And there's also a lot of competition between the sharks on the show. Have you noticed that, where they try to fight each other for deals and business opportunities? We'll see what that's really like. So Barbara Corcoran is coming up a little bit later in the show, and I have some interesting stories to tell you, because everybody's sort of getting back into the swing of things now that Christmas and New Year's is over. Some stories from my life that made for some interesting experiences. We'll get into it right after this. The Scribble starts right now.
Who are the Kardashians feuding with now? What did that little thug Justin Bieber do this time? Who's getting hitched? And who's headed for Splitsville? Hear the latest celebrity news and gossip every day. An entertainment wrap-up. The good, the bad, the ugly. But mostly, the ridiculously hilarious. It's all recapped in this daily segment at entertainmentwrapup.com. Have a laugh at the expense of the rich and famous when they take themselves way too seriously. It's 3 minutes of time-wasting fun at entertainmentwrapup.com. Check out Entertainment Wrap-Up at entertainmentwrapup.com. Brought to you by Speak Free Books.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on The Scribble. I'm not a morning person. I don't pretend to be. I have never been a morning person. I hate the mornings in the summer, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, the sun is out and birds are chirping, and it's like, you know what, you guys? Give me a couple more hours. I need a few more hours. Now, the beauty part about winter is that it's dark for a really long time in the morning, right? You're not waking up at 5 o'clock with birds chirping. In fact, all the birds are probably still hiding and sleeping because it's so cold and dark outside. So I do appreciate winter mornings. I do. But in my house, I don't have the lights on. It's not like I wake up and all of a sudden I've got this, you know, big sounding alarm and I throw on all the lights and I have the TV on and I get... No, actually, I'm getting ready in pitch black, in pitch darkness. I'm not kidding you. So what happens is I get up in the morning. I go down... My bedroom's upstairs. I go downstairs. I feed the dogs. As they're eating, I go into the shower. Again, I shower in complete darkness. There's no lights on in the house. But again, I've lived in my house for, well, it'll be 11 years now, and so I can navigate it, right? I don't need lights on to get around. And at the same time, you're just showering, right? You're not really looking at yourself in the shower, because you kind of know where your body is and how things go. So when I finish the shower, I get out, I dry off, and then I kind of just relax for a little bit. Once I dry off, I kill about 10, 15 minutes on the couch, and I just sort of sit there. Some mornings, I will go to the kitchen, and I will cut up some fruit, and I'll make a smoothie. But again, I really try to keep it as low energy as possible. So what happened was, a week earlier, I had made a smoothie, I'd blended up all of the fruit, and put it into the fridge. And I would come and have little sips here and there. I wouldn't pour like an actual full glass of it, but it was just something that I would go. So yeah, I'd have the blender jug in the fridge, and yes, I drank right from it. I'm the only one in my house, it's okay. And I would do that. So I guess I had forgotten about the smoothie being in there. And one morning I was craving it. And so I thought, okay, you know what, that's right, there's the smoothie in there. Now, yes, there's a light in the fridge, but again, because that's too bright and your eyes are still sensitive, it's a very quick open and close of the fridge door because, you know, you don't want to be blinded. So I go, I do that, I'm standing in the kitchen, I open up the container for the blender, I open, take the lid off the canister, and the smell just kind of hits you. Like, it's sort of like it's, I'm almost like I'm making wine. It feels, or it smells fermented. Now, these were frozen fruits that I had thrown in the blender and then just kept in the fridge. The fridge door isn't open, you know, it's not opened 10 times a day. It's maybe opened 2 or 3 times, right? It's not like I've got 3 kids and a bunch of people living in the house that are constantly going in the fridge. And things usually keep for quite a while. They do. Unless it's romaine lettuce. That's growing, you know, E. coli in the what do they call it? The crisper. Anyhow, I go and I smell it and I'm like, wow, this really smells strong. But I thought, okay, well, whatever. And so I drank it and I put the lid back on and I put it back in the fridge, closing my eyes because I didn't want to be blinded. So I go about my day and then I come home in the evening and I was like, you know what, I could go for a bit more of that smoothie. So I go, I open it, and again the smell hits you, and now this time I actually look in the container and there is mold all around the sides and on the inside of the lid. And naturally, in that moment, your stomach turns and you very, very quickly get a stomach ache, right? I had drank it hours earlier, probably like 10 hours earlier, but in that moment there's that gurgle in your stomach and you know, because I guess it's your brain telling you, right? It's your head's going, oh my god, I can't believe I drank this earlier. So I was telling people, like, I essentially poisoned myself, but no, I was okay. It's not like I wasn't downing it entirely. I had like a couple of sips, really like 2 sips in the morning, and that was it. But again, the smell caught me off guard, but it was dark and I didn't look in. So the next morning, this is a continuation of the story. The next morning, I thought, okay, well, here's the deal. I'm going to cut up some fresh fruit, and then I'm going to make the smoothie and have it now. So I go and I reach for one of the big sharp knives. And if you think you know where I'm going with this, I didn't slice open my finger. Don't worry, that's not where I'm going. But I poked myself with the end of the knife, just like that, like a stabbing sort of a prick in my finger, in my middle finger. So I didn't slice, I didn't cut, there was no, but I just, basically, I stabbed myself with the knife. And no blood or anything, but that's something that wakes you up, let me tell you. And I thought, I'm just not having a very good day. I'm really not. I don't want to do it. I poisoned myself, I stabbed myself. It's at that, it was 6:15 in the morning. And that morning I was taping a celebrity interview at home. I've got a studio at home in case, you know, we've got to tape something in the middle of the night or there's an update or a breaking story and I'm not near the office. And so at 6:15, I had no desire to be up and out of the house. And I thought, you know what, we'll have the call directed to my house. I'll record the celebrity interview there. I'm not going to mention who it was, but it's not one of my favorite celebrities. Let me put it like that. So I was already in a bad mood and I thought, oh my God, here we go. At 6:25, this guy is calling me. And usually he's a dick, if I can, you know, there's something about these calls when you do them that you have the general chit-chat and then you're on, right? They're on as the celebrity and then I'm on as the host, I'm energetic. And then at the end it's like, okay, thanks, bye. And a lot of times they'll hang up right after that and sometimes they'll chit-chat. This guy's usually a douche to me. And so I just thought, oh my God, I was in a terrible mood and here I am to start the morning talking to this a-hole. So anyway, the day ended up being okay. It was all good. But at that point, you just want to like go back into bed, right? You're just like, I'm not even going to leave that. I'm not stepping up because I'm going to get hit by a car. There's going to be something tragic that happens. It's going to be a crappy day all around. But no, it was okay. It's all in how you take it, right? If you take it in stride and you go about your day with a smile on your face and pretend like nothing's happening. I like to laugh about things, right? If you, again, you know, last month I put out that book called Multiple Sarcasm. And you'll see how I make light of all of these really crazy situations in my life. Check it out. Multiple Sarcasm on Amazon, iTunes, and other places you buy books. Even more, I've got some stories about Christmas travel. It wasn't in Panama, but I'll tell you what happened at the border, at customs. Oh yes, I caused a scene. More on The Scribble right after this.
Ever had something to get off your chest but never had the balls to say it? That's a load of crap. Speak Free with JB.com is exactly what you've been waiting for. Your chance to tell it like it is and not care what anybody else thinks. Have your say on issues of the day. Join newspaper and radio columnist Jeremy Bradley as he tells it like it is. Hundreds of thousands of people have stopped by, including some well-known celebrities who have had a chat with JB and speak candidly about what's really going on in the world. You can join them too. Have a rant or a rave. Be brave and head on over to www.speakfreewithjb.com now.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on The Scribble. Remember, we are moments away from our friend Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank. She's going to join us and talk about the behind-the-scenes elements of the show. How long does it actually take to make a deal? From the time they film the show and shake the hands and do their research and background checks on everything, how long of a process is it? Well, we'll find out when Barbara joins us in just a few minutes. Now, in the last segment, I talked about my holiday travel that was really interesting. And it wasn't in Panama, by the way. If you're thinking that it was during our Christmas broadcast, it was not. Full disclosure, here we go, me telling all the secrets that I shouldn't. Our Christmas shows were taped in October in Panama. Coincidentally, we were in Panama City the same time that Panama City, Florida was being hit by the hurricane. And so we had attempted to kind of keep it hush-hush because in the radio world, in broadcast, in media anyway, or in television entertainment, a lot of times things are pre-taped and you sort of play along that, oh, well, we're live, but we're not really, though. And so we were in Panama City, Panama, not Panama City, Florida, but I guess some people didn't make that connection. So the few people that knew where I was going freaked out because they got the wrong Panama. And so then there started to be this online people tweeting me or posting on my Facebook page to let everybody know that I'm okay and things like that. Now, the reason why I go quiet is because I'm not in Panama at the time, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're taping in October, but that's airing in December when we're live. And so, no, you're not seeing a bunch of pictures. That's the one thing about, a media outlet or you know, anybody who's in entertainment. Like, we pre-tape, and then you'll see me tweeting about Panama in December. So you'd have no idea that I was there, which is kind of the point, and you'd think that I was there in December. I'm really telling all the secrets outside of school here, and I'm going to get in trouble, but anyway, so people were freaking out that I was caught up in the Florida hurricane in October. I was not. Now, I did go away at Christmas, and my personal life is personal. And so when I go somewhere or do things on my own time and my downtime, I don't really make a big deal about it. You wouldn't see it blasted all over Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. I'm low-key with things like that. So I had left the country, and I went to a place, like a beach area. And it was a place where they make little crafts, woodworking and little trinkets and things. And you can go to a booth and you buy them for like a dollar, right? And so I had gone and I had done that, and I got a bunch of little things that I bought for a dollar, $2. And you barter, right? You give them a couple bucks here and there. So my suitcase was full of all these like wooden trinkets and things. And I guess for some reason at airport security, that caused not necessarily concern, but it just had me go for a deeper, you know, search. And I was like, okay, fine, because I know that I don't have anything bad in my bag. I've never even touched a cigarette in my life, so any drugs or anything, yeah, not a chance. So I'm fine with that. But again, you're at customs, and so now you're pulled into another room. It's not like it's just sort of like a side, oh, well, we'll just pull you along the table here, and you go on the, you know, open your suitcase on the steel table through security. No, we're in a side room. I'm like, okay, fine, great, whatever. So the customs guy, or the border security guy, not in Canada, at where I was, it starts to pull out everything, puts on these, like, blue rubber gloves as though I'm going to get, like, a rectal exam. Puts on the gloves and starts taking things out. And I said, you know, just if you can please be careful because there's some, you know, ornaments and things in there that are breakable. So he's very delicate. And again, I've got like a wooden car, some beadwork, you know, bracelet, a necklace for my niece, little things like that. And then he gets to a picture frame. Again, handcrafted, you know, wood. It's got a nice gloss on it and it's really nice. And you know how when you get a picture frame in a store, there's like the picture in it already, like the stock photo of like the cheesy family smiling, and you're like, oh my god, these are people are from like 1992. In this photo, there was kind of like a shirtless, dark skinned, you know, a really tanned sort of Colombian or Brazilian sort of looking guy, shirtless. And so the security guy goes, "Who's this?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. That's the picture that you get with the frame. So you don't know who this is?" I'm like, "No, I don't." "You sure?" And so I said, you can see the very, very corner of the picture. You can see, like, the copyright information from the photo. And I said, that's what comes with, like, see, that's not a picture that I have. And it was just this awkward moment because for a moment I'm sitting there going, what does that matter? Who's in the picture? It's not like it was, okay, I could understand if it was a 4-year-old naked boy or, you know, something like that. No, it was a sexy looking, you know, grown man who they had his shirt off, whatever. But it's the picture that comes with the frame. And I just, then I almost felt like, oh, crap, now I'm in, because I felt, oh, I'm getting lippy, or, oh, he's going to think that I'm being, you know, snarky with him. But I really wasn't. But I honestly didn't know what he meant. Like, it took me a second to kind of, oh, sorry, so you're insinuating that I, oh, okay, well, yeah, no, you're wrong, buddy. And so at that point, once it sunk in, I was like, overly nice, right? Overly pleasant, overly helpful. And then once he had pulled everything out of my bag, and we're talking like everything, like every t-shirt was pulled out and like held up and then turned around and then turned back. And I thought, oh my God, wow. But it was, again, just because I had all these little things in my suitcase. And so he starts to put them back, and I said, you know what? It's okay. I got it. It's okay. Yeah, I'm fine. I got it. And, you know, it holds you up, right? And then you're frustrated because you know how long it takes you to pack, and especially if you've got a ton of things and souvenirs and stuff like that. And I just thought, you know, just take it in stride. You're going home. But are you impatient like that? When I'm coming back from a trip, I'm fine on the way there. It can take me 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours to get there. That's okay with me. It's when I'm coming home, it's that last, when you leave the hotel, on the way to the airport, going through security, that you're in the home stretch. If I could just flick a switch and go and just beam me home, I'm good. I would do that. But I get really ornery. I get just so testy at that point. If there's a flight delay, if I've got to run, you know, to the next plane and I've only got 5 minutes, or if I've waited too long for food at the airport, like I'm just a dick. I really am. And so in that moment, when I was coming back, I thought, just, it's fine. Just, it's okay. Everything's good. Don't worry. He's just doing his job, you know, something in the computer or on the X-ray, whatever. It's okay. It's okay. It happens to a lot of people. And and thankfully it was a direct flight home at that point. But had I had like a delay or two connecting flights or something, I probably would have just been over it. I would have been over it. So how do you feel on the way home from a vacation? It's completely different. It's like when you set up your Christmas tree. You love setting it up, but then it's a bitch taking it down. And then you leave it until mid-January, end of January. 1 year I had it up until, I think, middle of February. But there's just something more joyous putting it up, and you're like, oh, crap, I got to take it all. And it seems like it takes twice as long to disassemble, you know, take it all down. What do you think? Send me an email. live@jbonair.com. live@jbonair.com. We're back with Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran right after this.
Isn't it crazy that you wait for payday, but before you know it, you're strapped for cash again? It's time to stop blowing your money and become a smart spender with the book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate, at cheapskatebook.com. Learn simple ways to cut costs at home every day and during special times of the year. Don't go broke at Christmas. Don't remortgage the house for a fancy vacation. The book is filled with tips to save you money throughout the year. Check out the best-selling book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate, at cheapskatebook.com or on Amazon and iTunes.
She is the youngest and prettiest of the sharks on Shark Tank, and you know what? I'm gonna read the rest of it. I think this is Kevin O'Leary inspired, so I'll do it again. She's the youngest and prettiest of the sharks on Shark Tank and has the fastest broom in the East. Oh my. Barbara Corcoran is joining us on the line. Hi there.
Oh my gosh, you're not listening to the lies that Kevin spreads around. I like the one that I'm the youngest when I'm clearly the oldest.
Well,
but that darn broomstick joke, he's still pushing that around?
It's funny because, you know what, on the red carpet of the AMAs, he mentioned that you have a broom, and I said, I think that's to sweep the doorstep of the million-dollar homes she's selling, Kevin. I mean,
good for you. Thanks for defending me. You're a good guy. You know what he constantly says at every speech he ever gives? He said, of course I love Barbara. In fact, I bought her a new broomstick for Christmas, and the whole audience laughs, and I'm like, doggone, I can't think of a comeback on this.
But I mean, you can't go wrong with a hair joke, I'm sure, right?
Oh no! I would. He's not the least bit self-conscious. He lets me shine his bald head every day on set. He says, "Give it a good shine." I buffed on up. Nah, he's pretty impenetrable. Is that the word I'm groping for?
Sure. Yeah. We'll go there. Now, see, here's the thing. Let's talk about that though, because I think he's a hypocrite, and I'll tell you why. He says that there's no room for tears and emotion in business, and then jumps on people when they get emotional. But how many times have we seen the zoomed in close up of his eyes welling up when people tell their stories? So what's the deal? He's just a big softy, isn't he?
He is a big softy. And, you know, I think it's taken people a few years to see past his exterior. But when his wife walks on set, his knees shake. I'm telling you, I sit next to him. When he falls for an entrepreneur, he pursues him as though it's his first love of his life. And if something goes wrong, he always stands by people. So he likes to talk about his money, being the soldiers that go out there and bring the prisoners and all that nonsense. But the truth of the matter is he's got the softest touch of all.
And we know the shaking is really just his arthritis, Barbara. Come on.
Oh, no, that's my arthritis. Ricocheting off his knees. I'm the old one there.
Well, now, speaking of your fellow sharks, there's lots of partnerships that play out on the show. And so I wonder, who are you always willing to include in a deal, and who makes you nervous and why?
Well, I won't give you the second part, because that would be bad-mouthing why I don't go into deals very often with a lot of the sharks.
Okay.
But, I always like to go into a deal with Mark. Why? Because he's got tons of cash. He's not going to equivocate when it comes time to the closing. It's meaningless if he's going to plunk down $1 million, whereas me, I'm dreaming about it for 4 weeks leading up to it, worried sick, because it's $1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mark also does a deal quickly. He closes it, bang, bang. He's either in, he's out, bang, bang, bang. It just happens. It's not a lot of postulating. You don't have to have a lot of conference calls. And he's got an ace team just like I have. They work together, boom, the deal gets done. So he's my favorite shark. And I'm not going to say anything bad about the other sharks, but I can say one thing in a general way. The more cooks you have, the harder it is to make the brew, as they say. And that's a problem with multiple deals on the show, because you have committees, you have to vet it, everybody has an opinion, and meanwhile, the poor entrepreneur is standing there waiting for his cash. He wants to close and get on. And then once you're running the business with the entrepreneur, a lot of people weigh in on opinions, and I've never seen a good opinion ever come out of a committee decision in my life. It's usually got to be somebody's call, make the call, run with it, and see what happens.
How long of a process? Obviously, it's going to be different for every type of business and pitch, but how long is that time period of the shaking hands to finally closing the deal, on average, let's say?
On average, I would say 2 months would be the average, but you know what dictates that more than anything else is when the individual is going to air on Shark Tank, because two things happen. When we're saying we're in, we want that deal. We want to close, the entrepreneur wants to close, and then when you get into the due diligence, you very often find things that never came up on air, or things that were spoken on air that really didn't pan out to be necessarily true, like, yes, I own the patent, but it was really the brother-in-law, the ex-brother-in-law who owns the patent, and they say, oh, he'll give it back to me whenever I want. Well, in the due diligence, you say, please send him a letter and get that patent back. Well, of course, the brother-in-law is never going to return the patent because he knows you're on Shark Tank and you're going to make a bundle. So things like that go awry. But what is also interesting to me is every season I have one entrepreneur that has no intention of closing. They really play the system very well, and they're lovely people, and they check out perfectly, but they stretch and stretch and stretch the due diligence aspect of it, because what they're trying to do is get the airtime without needing to take in a partner. They want to see how well they sell and if they really need you anymore. So there's always one deal that the entrepreneur just acts as though they're in love, but they're really the lover that left, and you don't know it until after they air.
So, yeah, I mean, the show is free advertising, really.
Oh, well, it's free advertising, but you have to realize each of these entrepreneurs put their heart and soul into starting the business, and they kind of deserve it if you think about it. And they're practicing like crazy to make their pitch. They're very brave to get up there in the first place, in my opinion. And so they really deserve the free advertising. And yet, the free advertising is great on Shark Tank night, and yet some products don't sell at all. Some products, little widgets, sell $3-5 million worth of product just within a week of airing on Shark Tank. But the real telltale dictator as to whether you have a winning product or not is about 3 months after Shark Tank airs, because now you've got to continue the sales. And the great majority of the businesses don't continue the sales. And that's up to the entrepreneur, how to grab that momentum and keep it going.
In due diligence, if you find that there's been some details fudged and maybe something wasn't quite accurate, does that end the deal for you right there, or do you say, you know what, okay, I'll keep it because you really like the deal?
I never really liked the deal, honestly, and that's not where my eye is. My eye is always on the entrepreneur. So if it's an integrity issue, I always leave the deal, always, because I feel like I'm going to mistrust in the relationship from the get-go, which isn't going to ever wind up anywhere good. Mm-hmm. But if there was something wrong about the business, but the entrepreneur had the right intent, you know, it's about intent for me more than anything, I forgive and move on because I get it. You know, people are under pressure. They have huge cameras on the set zooming in within inches of your face so to catch the sweat on the side cheek. And so that's a lot of pressure. So I realize there's a certain fudge factor or pressure factor that you got to forgive people for. It's not, I think it's all about intent, really, for me. For sure. I have to love my entrepreneur, because why would I want to get into a relationship with somebody that I mistrust, or why would I even want to get into a relationship with someone I just don't really care for? All the deals I commit to are always based mostly 90% on my gut reaction to that entrepreneur, how much I like and trust them.
Well, then tell me the first thing you notice about someone when they come into a business meeting with you.
I notice right away your posture. I put a lot into posture. I think it implies whether you're confident or not. So, you know, those little intuitive things about how people move, how they sit down, how they conduct themselves physically, sends a lot of messaging. If you don't make eye contact and hold it, right away not trusting you. And I know, as old-fashioned as it sounds, it's the handshake. I think a lot of people today, they shake the hand and squeeze it hard, men and women included. Mm-hmm. I don't put much stock in that because everybody's onto that. But what I'm always looking for is a little nuance, but I've learned that it's a very good indicator, is that when someone grabs your hand, that they make contact with that flesh between your thumb and your pointy finger, that they make the contact. A lot of people squeeze, but you don't really get the contact with their hand because they don't come in far enough. They're backing off. And right away I don't trust you. Okay. I know I put way too much emphasis on the handshake, and I go around town mostly correcting young women's handshakes. Give me a piercing squeeze, like I'm only 4'8", but here I come, squeeze, and my hand's aching. So I stop, I correct them, say, let me tell you what your handshake is missing and why you don't have to squeeze so hard once you get it, you know. But people are very appreciative. I don't do that to men, honest to God. I don't know why. I fear that maybe the guy's not going to take it well, but with any woman I could correct a handshake. I'm walking around town doing it all the time.
All right, so she's not going to notice the big bouquet of flowers, you guys, so I've got to take those back, all right? She's not going to notice them.
Okay, good.
Finally, we have to get this wrapped up, but I want to know, how many times a day do you hear, hey, I have a business idea for you?
I would say, as often as I meet people, I would say maybe 50% of anyone I come into contact wants to discuss their business idea. Absolutely. From cab drivers to being at a restaurant celebrating my son's 16th birthday to somebody coming up while we're singing happy birthday and saying, hi, I just want to talk about my idea. It's like remarkable. To ladies' room in a stall in the JFK airport, a woman talking to my shoes, I swear to God. People, it's just automatic. And you want to know something, it's very funny. And I see the humor in it, and I don't mind it at all, because it's just people's, you know, people are being very friendly and giving you an opportunity that you don't want to take, but nonetheless, it's an extension of their hand.
All right, and I'll be emailing my business proposal.
Okay, you got it, right?
All right, Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Nice chatting. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
It's never too early to start thinking about your next holiday. Have you checked out Mexico recently? From tequila tasting, swimming with horses, to zip lining through the jungle, and watching whales and dolphins in their natural habitat, Puerto Vallarta has it all. Visit mexico.jbonair.com to see all the fun PV has to offer. That's at mexico.jbonair.com for hundreds of photos, interviews, and videos from around the tourist hotspot. Check out mexico.jbonair.com for all the fun. That's mexico.jbonair.com.
We hear you chirping. Get scribbling. Tweet up the scribble at the Scribble Show. Join the discussion with Jeremy Bradley. It's all going down right now on Twitter at the Scribble Show and at thescribbleshow.com.
My name is Jeremy Bradley. This is The Scribble. Feel free to give me a shout anytime. It's always awesome hearing from you. My email address, live@jbonair.com, live@jbonair.com. In case you've missed any of the podcasts, absolutely please do subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes, and you can go to Speak Free Celeb Watch, speakfreecelebwatch.com, and you can have a listen to the latest celebrity guests that we've had on the podcast and our syndicated radio shows, Top of the Charts and The Open Road. I will talk to you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Want more Scribble? Check out thescribbleshow.com for past shows, celebrity interviews, cheapskate tips, and more. That's at thescribbleshow.com and on Twitter at The Scribble Show. The Scribble is a speak-free media presentation.
If you want some real heat, give your mind.